So last time on Shir, we were really talking about Kiddushin Baal Korcha. Right? The Gemara really started and said, "Oh, you know, it's a good thing we didn't." Let's get to the beginning. Right? It's a good thing we didn't use the lashon of Ha'ish Kone, right? Instead, we say Ha'ish Niknes, right? Because Yibayasema Yitana Kone Ha'ish Kone Hava or Isha Ha'ish Kone Hava Amina Afilu Baal Korcha, right? Tana Haisha Niknes Dimidaita in Shlomidaita Lo. Okay, so we used Haisha Niknes so that we know that you can't do Kiddushin Baal Korcha. What's the problem? All right, so our problem is, why would we think you could do Kiddushin Baal Korcha? Right? That doesn't make sense. You can't just, you know, pop up with someone and say, "Hi, we're married." Right? And you know, you can't even if you pull the right, do you by any chance have six fingers on your left hand and you pop the ring on? You know, it doesn't work either, right? You know, the song, if you like it, you should have put a ring on it, is really misleading because, right, it takes two to tango. So what's pshat? What's the havamina, right? So the Ramban's answer was, there isn't a havamina. There's no havamina, right? You know, whenever you have a, you know, whenever you have such a, like a weird havamina, you can go in two ways. You can say, there's a real havamina, right? You could say, there isn't really a havamina. This is an excuse for us to sort of present a certain point, right? But it's essentially a rhetorical device, or it's a way of, right, making a certain point, of showing a certain point, which is highlighted by our pretended havamina. It's sort of like the way a teacher would, you know, would say, oh, like, okay, then we should say X, like playing devil's advocate. And then you say, no, of course not, right? Then you say, yeah, you know, then you like really develop the opposite. And if you hadn't brought it up, then you just wouldn't, you know, you wouldn't have really sharpened that point. But we're not really, we don't really have such a havamina. I could say, no, there's a real havamina. We really need to explain why it would work. Or rather, we saw there's like the in-between option where there is a havamina, right? But the havamina isn't quite what we were, you know, sort of thinking about, talking about originally, right? So Ramban said, right? It's not that we're trying to say, oh, we have a havamina, we're trying to get rid of the havamina. We're trying to say you couldn't even have such a havamina. We're trying to emphasize almost the lack of havamina by saying, oh, there are two parties, right? Ha'isha is the nickname. She's a subject of the whole process, right? Not an object of the process of Kiddushin. Right, and as an equal subject of Kiddushin, right, even if she was perhaps the passive one, right, she's an equal party, and therefore, of course, it can't be Baal Korcha. But the lack of Baal Korcha is like a side point, which we learn as it's something obvious from the fact that we're emphasizing, right, that the Isha is being Niknes as a subject. She is going and being Mitkadeshet, right? So it's not that we had the Havamina, and now there's a Dechi of the Havamina. We're saying the whole system is such that there is no havamina that way, right? And I'm saying it's more of like it's a way of getting to emphasize this point. We never really had this havamina. We're emphasizing the point that she's an equal party. Okay. The Meiri sort of says, we actually did have a real havamina, right? Right. The psukim aren't so clear. Ba'ala, ube'ala, lashon of ba'ala, and kiyikach, could equally be Baal Korcha. The kol shekein shehashtar b'kiddushin yotzei lanu mehekesh shel get, kvar yadata she'itam isha mitgareshet Baal Korcha. We know that isha is mitgareshet Baal Korcha. Mikol makom in zet tzarech kra, shim kein lo hanach tabas l'avram avinu. So he says, you had a real havamina, right? Gets Baal Korcha, kiddushin shtar are learned out from get. Maybe, right, it would be the same thing, and you could do kiddushin Baal Korcha just like a gets Baal Korcha. And then he says, of course, that would just be absurd, right? That's offensive. Right? No Jewish woman be safe from, you know, any uncouth ruffian who decides that he wants to marry her, right? And he says, and then it's like a second point, says, and like nowhere else is this true, right? But you see that his main point is what, right? It's the abhorrence, like it would just be absurd, right? It would just be abhorrent. Also, technically, it wouldn't really make so much sense, right? But he's saying you could have such a havamina, right? In a legalistic sense, you could say, oh, well, I don't know, maybe, right? Now we're gonna talk about those cases and why, right, legally it's not really a good havamina. But he's saying, even if you had such a good havamina and the psukim aren't mochiach, he says you don't need a pasuk, right? Because it's obvious. Right? But his argument is very much that they would just be against what we think of as ishas, right? In the process of getting married. Lohanach debas lavram avinu, right? It would, you know, it's totally against the way in which we view marriage and Jewish society as functioning. Right? So even if you could conceive of a way that like the kiddushin should be chal, right, that would be totally against our, you know, our belief in what Jewish society should look like. Right? So it's very interesting how his argument is like, just leave the, you know, legalistic questions on the side for a second, or legalistic havaminas, right? This would be untenable. And then he said, oh, and also legally it wouldn't make sense. Right? So he's saying there's a real havamina, but you could never have had such a maskana. Which is fascinating, right? You really could think of it. You could say, oh, well, actually, maybe like by a star, by a get it works, and we learn it out from there, you know? You could start stroking your beard, but you can never, you know, you can never be like, oh, and there's this one shita who says it works, sort of thing. You know, whenever you have like a wacky havamina, there's two types of wacky havaminas. There's like, oh, that's like a fascinating idea. Of course, it's not true. And there's, that's a wacky idea, and of course, it's not mainstream. But it could be that there's like some crazy shita who really says it, you know? So the mere saying, you can never have like the crazy shita who's saying that. You can never, you know, there's no parallel universe where this would be true, right? If we had Paskin differently sort of thing. Nah, right? But legally, you could start thinking that way, right? So the Ramban, on the one hand, is sort of saying, oh, well, you can never really think this because it's a two-party process, right? And they're both subjects of Kiddushin. The Meiri is saying, well, you know, in a legalistic sense, you sort of could see how the process you could, the ball could start rolling on thinking, oh, maybe part of the legal process could get off the ground. And then of course, like you, that wouldn't fit with our vision of Ishos. So of course it couldn't be true. Right? So those are different. The Ramban, it would never get off the ground because it just doesn't, it's not part of the process. The process doesn't fit. The Meiri is saying, well, the process wise, in terms of the process of getting married, maybe that could make sense. But from what we know about being married, that's absurd. Right? Now, what's important there is that there's a chakira between getting married and being married, right? The Ramban's talking about what makes sense in the process of getting married, while the Meiri is talking about what makes sense in the process of being married, right? The Meiri afterwards says, "V'harei af b'shar dvarim in shum mekach miskayim ba'ones." And then he says, oh, and there's, even in the process of getting married, that you couldn't say that, oh, like the creation of this, of Kenan Ishas or the creation of Ishas could be done by Korach, because you can never create a, right, sort of, you know, any sort of a contract, you know, bonus or any sort of legal chayvud or legal relationship bonus. So why would this be any different? Right? But he's first talking about lohanach tabas lavram avinu. That just would be impossible. Like marriage can't work that way. And this is, oh, you also, like, in terms of legalities, this wouldn't make sense. The Ramban just says it's a two-party process, right? Right? Man and wife requires man and wife. So, you know, if they're not both on board, then there's just nothing to talk about, okay? And once we split between the getting married and the being married, right, which is kind of what we also saw in the sugya of, is it kinyan, right? What does it mean for Ishus, for Kiddushin to be a kinyan? Right? So you saw some people just said, it's form of speech, but really, there's just Ishus, right? Well, the Rajba was very, very much in favor of the idea that there's the process of getting married, right? Which is through a Kenyan, right? The Kenyan's, you know, not really totally a regular Kenyan, but you're basically doing a Kenyan. You're creating responsibility in a relationship between two parties, right? Through, you know, through a formal legal, you know, act. And that's pretty much the same as what we have by Dine Mamonis. But, right, the result is not acquisition, but Ishus, right? So the process of getting married is actually very similar to acquiring things, right, or contract law in general, or any sort of kinyan, right? It's a formal legal process, you know, between two parties, right? That's sort of standard. And then, right, but the result is a totally new result of Ishus, right? So they're not, so similarly, right, the Meiri here is saying, before I even want to talk about getting married, I'm going to go say the being married can't work that way. Oh, also the getting married doesn't work that way, right? But you see, again, this chakira between the getting married and the being married. Right? For the Rajba, I was like, oh, getting married is actually, you know, very similar to Dini Mamonis, And that's why we talk about Kenyan, but then we got to talk about Kiddushin, because at the end of the day, we're creating Ishus, not ownership. Okay. So ironically, what happens here is that for the Meiri, the conclusion is abhorrent, would just be totally out of the, absurd, right? You can never have such a conclusion that there's Ishus Balkarcha, but you very much could have the Havamina, right? Because you could say, oh, well, in terms of getting married, maybe it makes sense. Right? And then the Maskarnas, but you could never be married that way. That just doesn't make sense. That doesn't work. Right? And they say, oh, it also doesn't make sense in terms of the getting married process. Right? But that there is the Havamina, even though the Maskarna would be totally rejected. The Rajba, right, charts that middle course, and he says, well, actually, we're not talking about Bal Karcha, we're talking about Taluha the Kaddish. We're talking about using, you know, undue influence to leverage her into agreeing. So she's agreeing at the end of the day, right? But she's agreeing under duress. Okay. Now, again, he's not so specific on what type of duress, right? Is it, you know, you are, you know, I know Inigo Montoya, I have him on speed dial, and I can tell you that you have six fingers on your left hand, you know, or is it like, oh, I can bankrupt your family business, or is it like, you know, marry me, no. And, you know, just like you keep nagging for like, you know, like, I don't know, 12 hours straight. You know, and then, like, out of frustration, she says, like, fine, you know, if I marry you, will you, like, finally be quiet? And he says, yes. And she's like, fine. And then she's like, oh, I didn't actually want to do that. That was terrible. Like, I was just so annoyed, you know, or something like that. And obviously, that's, like, a big range. So, like, what type of duress we're talking about is a little bit, we've left open. But he says it's about agreement or son to duress. Yeah, Alex.
How do they understand Talu v'Zabin? Wouldn't that be complete onus? Like, is that a case of complete onus then? Like, when I picture it, it's like, okay, we're hanging. Oh, I guess it's torture? Or is it like, if you don't, we're going to, like, to what extent? What case are we learning this from? What do we know there?
Yeah, so Taluva Zavin, also, I have to check. I think there's also a little bit of debate around that, if I remember correctly, about how, you know, how extreme can you go for it to really work. Again, also the question is, if even we're paralleling it to Taluha V'Zavin, it might not necessarily be the same. So far, you're right. They are comparing them directly. But let's say, like, by Taluha V'Zavin, by Mamonis, even if it's like, oh, the mafia, and they say they'll kill you, right? So at the end of the day, you're getting paid, right? And they're taking away your object. So the idea that you would agree under duress to such a situation, you say, okay, whatever, I'll cut my losses, right, is more compelling than in a case where you guys say, oh, marry me or I'll kill you. And she says, look, I'll say yes, right? But it doesn't necessarily mean that she's going to actually marry him. She might just say yes and then run away the first opportunity, right? While if he's nagging her forever, right, they might say, okay, well, you know, at the end of the day, she said yes. And even though it was under, you know, the duress of extreme nagification, nonetheless, that might, you know, not invalidate it. So I'm not sure if you like, oh, threatened to kill her, whether we would consider that like Talu of a Kaddish, you know, might be able to say, okay, in that case, she's not cutting her losses. She's just, you know, she knows if she says yes, she won't be killed. And then like, she could just walk away later. Well, if it's about like blackmail, right, then blackmail might be a little different. Right? Oh, I'll embarrass you or I'll, you know, bankrupt your family business. You know, then we might say, okay, right, Savra Vikanya, right? It's blackmail, right? She's not giving it for totally out of free will, but at the end of the day, she said yes, and right, she's doing it under pressure, but she's still doing it. So I think there's definitely a lot of room to be mechalik, even though the problem is it's all very theoretical, right? So it's hard to you know, to say like, oh, like, you know, the Rishonim aren't discussing these nuances. They don't really have reason to do it because at the end of the day, we think it doesn't work. So it's a little bit, you know, it's a little bit hard to say, oh, you know, the Rishonim aren't Mechalek or the Rishonim, you know, should have been Mechalek. But I think they would be. I think you would have to be, or you definitely could be Mechalek between the two, even if in the, you know, theoretical world, we would say that Taluha V'Kaddish would work. But it's a very good question because at the end of the day, it's, you know, it sounds like it, it's in there, right? Okay. Oh, you also had another question on the chat. Oh, okay, fine. That's we dealt with that. Okay, so we're gonna. So the Rajba said, right? Well, Talu of Akani, woodwork in theory. The only reason it doesn't is because of rabbinical intervention. Right? The rabbis come and say that's, you know, that's despicable. And mafkin rabban on the kiddushi meaning. Right? But theoretically, it really works, says the Rashba. So the Maisa never works, so you don't have to worry about it. But in theory, right, it really should have worked. And why? So the Rashba says, I know it should work because it works by the mamonis, right? Which again, right, is the Rashba l'shitaso, that the process of getting married is very much parallel to Dini Mamonis, right? The contractual side of things, right, is there. The legal formal contract is the same, basically, or the same structure as a Dini Mamonis legal formal contract, right? The result, instead of being acquisition, is marriage. But, right, the way in which you go about, you know, getting married formally is the same as, you know, creating legal formal financial contracts. Right? So what he says then is, oh, okay. So then what you could have is a real havamina and maskana, a talula v'kaddish should work just like by mamonis. Right? Obviously, we're not going to allow that, right? Because we find that abhorrent, right, to our understanding of ishas. But then we need rabbinic intervention in order to achieve that, you know, that hafka. Right? So the, you know, so what the, let's say, like the Meiri thought was like, oh, you know, you could have like a havamina, not necessarily from mamonis, but from get and gibum, right? And then he says, no, you can't, because that would be against ishus. The Rashba says, well, you can't have totally that havamina, but you really could say, oh, just like by dini mamonis, it works. So it really works. Obviously, it's, you know, intolerable. So, but we need the rabbanan to come in and be mafkia. Okay? So, and just that really, really emphasizes the idea that, oh, in the Rashba especially, that there's this chakira between the getting married and what you end up having when you actually are married, right? The process of getting married, right, is not the same as what you create when you're getting married. Right? Ishus is the result of the process of getting married, right? Just like, I don't know, filling out lots of papers, you know, is generally like the process of getting married in America, right? Signing a bunch of witnesses, going to a judge, right? Marriage itself is, you know, is a dream within a dream. But the way to go about getting to the dream within a dream is signing lots of papers. So signing lots of papers, l'chud, and then the result is the dream within a dream. Okay. So what about, you know, kiddushin under duress, right? So the Rashba said really should work. And the Gemara in Baba Basra, right, at least on the face of it, sounds like that it could really work. Right, and that there's, you know, hafkas kiddushin. However, right, the Meiri, the way he presents it, doesn't sound that way, right? Now, just one second, before we say the Meiri, what would we think the Meiri says? How could we, you know, what do we think? What do you think the Meiri says, Nachshon? Does it mean you think it works or shouldn't work? What do you think? Huh? I should tell you? Okay. So we could have thought, we could have seen the Meiri go either way, right? The Meiri could have said, oh, well, actually, if there's partial consent, then, you know, maybe. Except that we don't want that, right? The Meiri is going to say the maskana, and I think we think this makes a lot of sense to us. That no, of course not. Even taluhu v'kaddish, no kiddushin, right? None, no kiddushin at all. Right? There's no kiddushin. Why not? Right? Because at the end of the day, you couldn't have a chalos kiddushin bal karcha. And if you can't have a chalos kiddushin bal karcha legamri, so mix us bal karcha, if it's about lo hanachta bas la'avram avinu, right? So mix us bal karcha. In terms of like the technical details, you can say, well, technically, maybe it should really work. Because like, it's only mix us bal karcha, right? But says the Meiri, of course, lo hanachta bas la'avram avinu. That's abhorrent to our conception of marriage. So of course it can't work. So the Meiri says, right, even though the Gemara sounds like we're using afkinu, the Meiri says, right, which the Raya of the Rashba was what? We have to use afkinu, so it must be that it works, right? The Miri says, what's my raya that we never really had a havamina? Afilu amar rotzani, koshen is bar sha'an suha acha amar rotzani, ina mikudeshas. Achashalo amar rotzani, elamitocha ones. He says, right, marriage has to be consensual. It's definitional to marriage that it's consensual, right? Even if he got her to say yes, but he pressured her, right? We don't care, right? Right? And even if she said okay, even if she did give consent, even if you had genuine consent, but it was extracted under duress, there's still no ishas, right? Achashalo amar rotzani, elamitocha ones, it doesn't count. Right, because for the Meiri, what matters is the result. You can't have ishus without consent. The end result can't exist that way. Right, so it's just very gishmak because he said, you know, I'm the yeah. Someone was asking a question. Oh, okay, right. So the Rajba brought this as a raya that really we could have a habimina, and we do have a habimina, and it's really true maskana except afkin rabbanan. The Meiri says abze, no, right. Even if you got consent, but it was under duress, it doesn't count because consent is definitional to marriage, right? And therefore, you know, Tavu v'Kaddish is not Kiddushin at all, right? Now, the problem is a little bit, if you look at the Gemara, it really does sound like Afkinu Rabbanan, like Kiddushin Mine. So the Rambam, also, the way he presents it doesn't sound like it really... is afkinu, right? The Rambam actually in general doesn't count, doesn't talk about afkinu. My father once pointed out in a shir that the Rambam never mentions afkinu ever. In all the Yad HaChazaka, there's no afkinu rabban le kiddushin mine. Every time he paskins all of like the halachas of, you know, of like, oh, in this case, like they're not married, or if he does X, it doesn't work, right? But instead of saying because of afkinu rabbanan, he always gives a different reason. Right, so it's just fascinating. The Rambam like really just thinks like lemaskana, like afkinu doesn't, you know, doesn't really exist. Like ishus is ishus, you can't afkinu ishus, right? We can limit, you know, when what you can do, but it doesn't. You can't like get rid of ishus. Okay, right. So it's but in the Gemara it sounds like maybe they have different gersas. The way the Meiri kind of says it is. Right, he just quotes the Gemara as if it's like a proof to what he said, right? In the end here. He says, oh, koshen sparashan tsuacha amarotani inimukudeshas achash lo amarotani elamitochonis. The raya brura from this Gemara, right? Then he quotes the Gemara, but the Gemara says it's afkinu, which is really a raya for the Rajba, who's saying the opposite of the Meiri, right? Here's the problem. If you have to use afkinu, right? It means that there's ishus that we have to blow up, right? But if there's ishus that you have to bust, then it means that there's ishus even though it was Talu of a Kaddish, right? The Meiri is presenting this Gemara as saying what? There's no Talu of a Kaddish, right? It's just ishus. There's no ishus, right? You don't need afkinu. So I think at least the way the Meiri seems to be interpreting this Gemara, when it says afkinu, it doesn't necessarily mean like, oh, the Rabbanan came in and like, you know, were mevatel his actual ishus. It seems like the way he wants to touch this Gemara of, you know, afkinu Rabbanan like kiddushe mine is like, they're going to say like, no, that's not ishus. Right, it's not so much that Rabbanan were mevatel the ishus, or you know, or had to use like rabbinic powers, right? They're just, you know, they're pointing and saying, gotcha, like that's not ishus, that doesn't count, you know, something like that. Right? Also, the Rambam just doesn't. Whenever it says afkinu, the Rambam never says, oh, they were mafkia the kiddushin. He always says like it just didn't work, or it doesn't work, or it's, you know, it's like it's just against like the rules or how ishus works, whatever. So I think that the way they see that is like, oh, no, the Rabbanan like highlighted this as like, no, like, you know, it doesn't work. Who else will look again? Like, that's not going to work. It's just not acceptable, right? But it's not acceptable, and therefore, objectively, it just doesn't work, it seems. Right? Because Meiri's bringing this as a raya that Taluha v'Kaddish doesn't work. And the Rajva just brought it as a raya that it does work because you needed afkinu, so it must be that it worked. So that, I think the Meiri and, you know, also following the Rambam really seems to understand, like, when we say afkinu, we don't necessarily mean that we're like being mafkia, the kiddushin, right? We're undermining it, but only rabbinically. Sounds like there's we're pointing out this is not acceptable ishas, and therefore doesn't work. This is fascinating. I think it might come up again. But that's just like a very interesting also approach to afkinu. Also, like, there's always like that temptation nowadays, especially, to like use afkinu to like solve certain problems, right? According to the Rambam, there is no, you know, there basically is no afkinu. It's not like a tool that we have that like we may or may not be allowed to use. It's a tool that doesn't exist, right? Once there's ishus, you can't just make it disappear, right? Now, if there was no ishus originally, or if the ishus was done in, you know, in, I guess in this case, let's say in bad faith or in a manner which is not acceptable, so then maybe it does not chal. But we can't just like, you know, snap our fingers and make it disappear. Okay. Anyway, so that's fascinating. So the Miri and the Rajba are bringing the same Gemara as a proof, but to their opposite shitas. The Rajba, that it's the way you get married is the same as Dini Mamanis, and therefore if it works by Dini Mamanis, it works here. But even though the Chalos is a Chalos Ishas. The Miri says if the Chalos is a Chalos Ishas, right, regardless of how you're creating it, it cannot be Bal Karcha. Because Ishas, by definition, has to be consensual. Okay? Now, the Rambam, you know, just sort of, he doesn't even bother explaining it. He just says it, states it as an axiom. Right? The Meiri is saying, oh, lo hanach debas l'Avraham Avinu, it would just be absurd. It would just, you know, it would undermine like the whole social construct of ishus and, you know, and marriage and our society, right? People just go around like, you know, grabbing wives off the street or something, right? So, but the Rambam says, just axiomatically, you can't have ishus without her consent, right? It doesn't work, right? So I just think it's like inconceivable. Like, why would you think of such a thing, right? It just wouldn't make sense for you to have ishas bal karcha, and therefore you can't, right? Ishas has to be midaita, and she has to consent, right? So I think it's even more than the Ramban says, oh, we're trying to emphasize, like, you know, she's an equal partner, and since she's an equal partner, you know, the ishus in a kinyan taloi beish el taloi namiba. The Rambam just says no, right? It's just axiomatic. Isha is mitkadeshet lertzona, and therefore, if you did about karcha, it wouldn't work because it has to be lertzona. That's part of what kiddushin is, right? For the Rambam, the core, the most important part of kiddushin is what? Is getting her consent, right? I think we're going to look into this more, but for the Rambam, right, you can't have kiddushin el lertzona, and you know, because part and parcel of what kiddushin is getting her to be rotzeh to marry you. It's not just a tenai. Here's what's important, because we're going to see this more later in the chalipin sugya. For the Rambam, it's not just that there's a tenai that she has to agree, right? And it's not only that it's like, oh, she's an equal partner, so obviously her consent is equally important. Right, it's that axiomatically part of what you're doing when you're doing kiddushin is you are trying to get her ratzon to get married. Okay, I'll explain. I'll just like sharpen that a little bit. When you buy something, right, what are you trying to do? Are you trying to get the other person to want to give it to you, right? Or are you doing you're doing a kinyan? And the other person has to agree to let you be kona their object, let's say. But it's not so much that they have to want to give it to you as much as they have to agree to give it to you or allow you to give it to you. And if they don't, that's ma'akev, right? So let's say the ma'isa kinyan, let's say, is hagbah. So I'm picking up this cup, right? So I picked up the cup. Now I'm kona the cup, right? If the other owner objects, then I can't be kona. But let's say, right? Let's say it's not just that I need him to not object. Let's say I need them. Let's say kinyan is that they want to give it to me, right? Or let's say we're dealing with a kinyan that's purely intellectual. Or let's say, I don't know, it's a kinyan bishtar of karka, right? So then the person really needs to want to give it to me in order for me to own it, right? You might need a higher level of das, right? There's someone not objecting, right? There is someone giving their permission, right? And there's someone wanting to do something, right? So wanting to do something, right? Lirtsona is different than it can't be balkarcha, right? Balkarcha means it can't be against her, right? Against her wishes. But if she says okay, even if it's half-hearted, right? So then that's no longer balkarcha, right? Lirtsona means she wants to get married, right? There's a positive desire there, okay? And that I think is important. Fine. Anyways, there are, you know, lots of nuances here between the Mi'ri, the Ramban, and the Rambam, right? Even though they're all coming out on the same side and saying, oh, clearly you can't have Ishas without her consent, right? For the Rambam, it's because that's goofa part of what you're trying to do by Kiddushin is to get her to want to marry you. For the Ramban, it's because there are two people who are participating in, right, in this process equally. So then they both equally need to have Das and Ratzon to do it. And for the Mi'iri, it's more a din in the result that you could not conceivably have the result of marriage without their consent. Right? Lohanachtabas la'avram avinu. It would just be absurd and abhorrent. That's less an argument that it wouldn't work in the Kiddushin as much as you couldn't have that at the end of the day. Okay? Now, the Rambam thinks you really could have, if the consent is under duress. There needs to be consent, but the consent could be under duress, just like Dini Mamonis. Right, because the process of getting married is very similar to Dini Mamonis. Okay. The Avni Miluin. Yeah.
Yes. So according to those that say that it cannot be done under duress, do people follow this Shita Lemaisa? Like what if somebody, let's say somebody gets married under duress, and then years later, she's having a horrible marriage, and then she learns the Shita. Can she go to Beis Din and say, look, maybe my kiddushin weren't hal?
I mean, I don't know what we'd consider as, you know, as under duress, right? Like, is nagging good? You know, is nagging good enough to count? I was giving that as like a little bit, you know, facetious example, or no, you needed to have like been like, you know, under threat of death or, you know, or physical injury, right?
But like that family pressure.
Right. I'm not sure family pressure would count. Right, that might just be nagging, just, you know, with like, you know, older, bigger, you know, more mature looking, you know, with and less excusable nagging, but still might just count as like extreme nagging. Right? I just don't know what we would count as balkarcha. We'd have to look into that a lot. That kind of came up with Kofun Asachi Omarotsani 2 years ago, but that's like we were dealing with more like, you know, Dini Mamonis, or here, you know, is like Kiddushin. I'm not sure how, you know, how much that would, how extreme the pressure needs to be in order to count as Balkarcha or as like Taluha V'Kaddish, right? I think, you know, it's hard to imagine that you'd, like, you know, Bismanino, let's say, that you'd have a case which would fit that criteria that, like, you know, they're married for a while.
There's all kinds of cases, like from the human perspective, but like people do get married to people they don't like, or they don't necessarily want to marry if they feel like that they have no choices in life, no money, and they've already made a commitment, and you know they cannot really retract and things like
that. But that's all internal duress, right? I mean, that's I remember we saw in the Gemara saying, oh, like wait a second, most of what people do is under duress. Right? The Gemara says, oh, there's a difference between like internal duress where you're making yourself do something, right? For whatever reasons, but at the end of the day, those are internal shikulim, those are internal factors, as opposed to some outside force is imposing, you know, a certain reality on you. So I don't think it would be, you know, you'd have to say like, you know, then like if they're threatening you, you know, then you get into those, but those are already much further afield. You have to ask your local Orthodox Beis Din. Fine. Yeah, sure. Tila.
I just want to clarify your previous definition based off of your answer to Tiferet. If there's duress involved also in Ratzon, like, how would you, like, that seems to interfere the distinction between, like, Lirtsana and, like, just not Bal Korcha.
Pardon? No, can you say it again?
Yeah. Maybe I'm missing something. You seem to make a distinction between Lirtsana, as in there being Ratzon, and just like not being Bal Korcha.
Yeah.
So it seemed like in one, there's more duress involved.
Yeah, you could say the more one, it could be quantitative, right? In terms of one, there's, you know, in order to, if there's any duress involved, so it wasn't Lerzona, right? Maybe, because it wasn't out of her totally free volition. Well, if it's a question of Balkarcha, to say that something was done, right, where they were forced to do it, is different to say than they were pressured into doing it. Right? Meaning pressuring someone is, you know, I would say like, oh, it's not Lerzona. You're not doing it out of your own free, you know, out of your own desire, Lerzoncha, if you're being pressured into doing it, right? You're not necessarily being forced to do it, right? If you're being forced to do it, even if it's not, let's say, you know, deadly force, they could still say it was Balkarcha, you were forced to do it, right? Maybe we could say it's, you know, it's the sort of force that you could theoretically overcome, but at the end of the day, like, you know, you were forced to do it. And those are, they're different. I think, you know, legally, in terms of, let's say, criminal law, if someone, you know, commits a crime, you know, under duress, right, that's different than if they, you know, do it, you know, hesitatingly, or, you know, they do it because of peer pressure, like, oh, but all my friends are doing it, right? That's different than I did it because they threatened to, like, kill my family, right? That's just, like, very extreme. But, you know, or, like, I owed money to the mob, and, like, I was afraid that they were going to, you know, break my kneecaps, so I did what they told me to do, right? That's under duress. That's not the, that's, you know, much more extreme than being, having been, you know, under some pressure to do it.
Okay, thanks. I guess I wasn't getting the distinction between duress and force, even though they're different.
Yeah, and it's also, you know, I'm making these chilukim, but they're not necessarily hard and fast at the moment. Okay, so now it's just, if you want to, let's now, so far we've said like this, right? The more we view Isha as like being totally detached from Dine Mamonis, right, the more we can say, Pashat, that you need Midaita, right? And the more you say, oh, like you're really creating Ishas when you do, you know, when you do Kiddushin, the more we'd have, like, we toss the Havamina of Baal Korcha out the window, right? Fantastic. Now is the point where we bring in, you know, sort of like the Shita that just, like, flips everything on its head and just views things totally differently. I do not think this is the way to view the Sugya. I think, you know, what we've been saying so far is very compelling. But just so that you see that there is a way to look at things really the opposite, we're going to bring in the Avni Miluim, because Avni Miluim has just a fascinating, fascinating take on things. He says like this, he says, wait a second, right? His question happens to be like, why do we not necessarily need to know, you know, why don't we have the Edom interview everyone at the wedding, right? Under the chuppah, like, why isn't there like an interrogation, you know, of like, you interrogate the man and the woman and like, you know, do you really love each other? Do you really want to get married? A little bit like what Tferet was saying is like, you know, like, why don't we say like, okay, you know, the Edom need to know that she's not being pressured and she's not being forced, and that like, you know, her parents didn't like give her like a dressing down like right before the wedding saying like, you better marry this guy or you'll like dishonor the, you know, the family, you know, and you'll bring dishonor to, you know, the whole Chua family, right? And you better do it. Like, why don't we interview her, right? So he says, wait a second, right? In Edom Yodim im Hivina Kol Shehi Omeres, Shehivina Hevi Kiddushi V'Kasha, Ha Hevi Kimikadosh Lo Edom. Wait a second, why does it help? If you have Edom, right, but you don't know 100% that she has Das, how are those Edom good Edei Kiyam? So he says like this, Kivan di Ikar HaKiddushi Mitzad HaMikadosh, Kimo Shekazav HaRam B'Nedarim, Kivan Sheha Torah Amra Ki Yikach Ishisha, V'lo Amra Ki Tilkach Ishalesh, Lo kol himnei shetachnes atzma lirshus habal, which umhachi amrina, right, he says, what's really happening, it's not that she walks into, right, his household, right, the Ran says, oh, marriage, she joins his household, right, they are creating a home together, but he's the Baal Bayis, let's say, so she's joining his house, right, she can't just walk in, right, like picture like a, you know, classic Hollywood ending, right, the man picks up his new bride, right, and walks her through the doorway. Right, so you need him to her walk her through the doorway, right? El mekivan she maskemes lekiddushes. As soon as she agrees to get married, he mevatelas da'atah ritzona umashvi nafshe itzal habal kedavar shel hefker v'habal machnisa lerushusa. Right, and the husband, like, you know, picks her up and walks her through the doorway. Right, much like the Hollywood ending, you know, of every, you know, romantic movie. He walks her through the doorway, right? But who's walking through the doorway? She is allowing him to walk her through the doorway. She's not actually doing anything. She's simply allowing him to. Ugh. If she's not doing anything, right? Hilkach inanu dani b'kiddushin mitzad isha el mitzad abal. Right. Therefore, what we really care about is, right, really the actions are all being done by him. We need to know at the end of the day that she agreed, right? But we that's not actually what the Edom are testifying to. The Edom are testifying to the Maisa Kiddushin. They're not testifying that everything involved is kosher. Okay. Why is that so interesting? Because then he says, Nir l'ni esdaiti, dafilu neima taluha v'kani lo kana, even if it didn't work by dine mamanis, right? Hayinu mishum deliknos bayu raton tfei. In order to acquire something, in order to be makna something, in order to transfer bailus of something, right, you actually need to want to transfer bailus, right? You want to be kone, you have to be makna. You have to actually want to do it, right? V'kosha bal karcha lo kana, but if it's against anyone's will, then it doesn't work. Aval kidusha isha inu kinyan legabe bal, dinema de lo kana, says the Ran, it's not comparable at all. Kiddushin is nothing like Dine Mamanis. Why not? Because by Dine Mamanis, you're acquiring something. Here, you're not acquiring something, right? She's allowing him to, you know, make her his wife. She's allowing him to walk her through the doorway, right? But in Gufa Kanoi Labal, Valav Midi Shakil. He's not being Kone her. There's no Kinyan going on. There's no transfer going on. V'kiven de'in gufa kanu l'ba v'kiddushin ki'im sh'ne'esra al yado l'chol ha'olam. Right? It creates an iser. He's machnas her l'beso, but that's it. Right? V'chol kai gav nafilu al yidei onis mahana ki'ven de'mechuyiv b'dvaro. You could have a real habamina that if she said it, so he's able to be osa her akula amam b'machnas her l'toch beso. Because what do you need? Right? Like in the Hollywood ending, all you need is for her to allow him to walk her through the door. So it's literally the exact opposite of the Rashba, but he's getting to the same conclusion, right? I mean, all these shittos we've been saying, right, the more they see ishus, right, as about kiddushin, or even kinyan ishus is about ishus, right? It's about creating marriage. It's not about creating a kinyan, it's about creating marriage. So you can't create marriage under duress, right? And then we said, oh, but the Rashba thinks that the act of creating marriage is a kinyan. And if it's a maisa kinyan, even if the totsah is ishus, then theoretically, it could follow the rules of mammon. And then technically, right, the Rabbanan would say that's unacceptable. So afkin Rabbanan kiddushin mineh. Because the Rabbanan's job is to, right, ensure that the end results we get to are acceptable as well. Right? Says the Avni Miluim, he flips the whole thing. Says, if you think it's about kinyan, so of course you need consent for kinyanim, right? But if it's just about creating ishus, what is ishus? Right? Ishus is being nichnas l'toch beso, and all you need is for her to not resist. Right? It doesn't have to be lirtsona, as we were asking before with Tila's question, was saying, wait a second, what's the difference between lirtsona versus bal karcha? Right? So here the Rav Yehuda is saying, it doesn't need to be lirtsona. She doesn't have to want it at all. By a kinyan, you need lirtsona. But for ishus, you only need it to not be bal karcha. Or not even, you just need her to to say yes. Right? I don't think this is, the way they read the Sigya. I don't think this is the compelling, way to understand the Gemara at the end of the day. Right? I think, everything in blue is, that we've been saying until now, is really, I think, conceptually, definitely the way to see things. But what's so fascinating about the Avni Miluim, right, is that he's really just turning everything on its head and, right, he's saying, okay, well, maybe Dafka Kinyan, right, you're actually moving things around, you're creating ownership and rights, and those things are all, very much about people's, das and people's acceptance of, right, of the situation, right? If society doesn't acknowledge your ownership, right, maybe you don't own it. And, in order to create ownership, maybe you really need something very, right, the consent of all the parties involved and the consent of society around you to accept and to respect your property rights, right? Property is very much something that's a social contract, right? It's about people accepting your property rights. Ishus is sublime, right? It's a dream within a dream, right? How much das do you need to have a dream inside of a dream? So I would say, you know, it's one to have a dream, you need a good imagination. To have a dream in your dream, right, you need even better, right? You need more das. Says the Avni Milam, it's a dream. It's not even a dream. It's a dream within a dream, right? It's very sublime. It's very holy, right? But it's very amorphous, says the Avni Milam. So who decided that you're married, right? You agreed to be married. And the Torah says, oh, you're married. You're all, you know, it's all Aser, right? You're Aser Kuli Alma, and you're married now. And here are all these dinim and isurim and chule, right? And mitzvos. But that's not something that you can really create, right? You can accept to be in such a situation, but it's really, you know, it's really the Torah or God who imposes those dinim. So all you're really doing is deciding that you're married or announcing that you're married, right? You're not creating Ishas. You're simply, you know, deciding that you're married, and then like the dinim of marriage apply to you, right? It's almost like when you sign the paper by the judge, you didn't really do anything, right? But the American government decided, bam, you're married now, right? And all, you know, terms and conditions apply. So says the Avni Milam, okay, so signing on the dotted line isn't that big of a deal, right? So you signed on the dotted line. It doesn't really, you know, that doesn't require a lot of intent, right? Transferring ownership is a big deal, right? That's really something that exists, you know, depends on a lot of das and acceptance on the way of the people. But ishas is purely legal. And if it's purely legal, right, maybe the standard, maybe the bar of das is much, much lower, right? So we would say, no, of course, the standard must be much higher, right? Because you're trying to create something that's purely conceptual, right? And purely a relationship, you know, about creating a formal legal relationship between the two, right? The more sublime it is, the higher the bar, right? But it's logically, it doesn't necessarily have to be that way, right? You could make the opposite argument. You could say, oh, no, the more that it's about, you know, creating, you know, Asar Kuli Alma Kehekdesh and Nichnas Lebeso, so the more you could say that it's very amorphous. Haven't got that? Okay. So anyway, so that's fascinating. I think it also just really highlights what we've been saying until now, you know, from the exception, you know, we sort of appreciate the rule more that, no, right? We're saying that's not true. Right? The more that it's not a kinyan, the more that it's about creating ishas, the more that you would have a higher standard, right? Because ishas is the relationship between them, and it's the hitchevut between them, and the responsibility and the commitment, right? And all those things have a very, very high standard, right? But, you know, if you just want to say, oh, no, just like a purely like a legal change, then, you know, maybe you could just really say, oh, it actually is very, very, very easy to perform. Okay, now, the next, just very, very quickly, you know, what about, you know, if the Avni Miluim, right, is saying, oh, well, maybe, like, certain things are just really easy to do, so, like, what about Nisuin, what about Get, what about Yibam, right, if we recoiled so strongly from, you know, from the idea that, like, Kiddushin could be easily done by Korcha, right, why are there things that can be done by Korcha? Right, so basically what we said, I'm just going to run over this again, is that what about, why Yibam? Yibam works Baal Karcha of both parties, right? Gerushin works Baal Karcha. Why is that true? And the Suin, also, what about the Suin? So just before that, why Yibam, why Gerushin? So one, as my father pointed out in Shia, is that there's a tziruf between them. They already have an ongoing relationship by Gerushin. Right, they're married. Once you have a relationship between two parties, right, you could have a dominant party, or you could have rights that are given to one party. Right? Once there's a relationship, so then things relating to that relationship could happen with, you know, with potentially on, you know, without the consent of the other. Let's say you have a partnership, right? Two people own something, and one of them decides that they want to split the partnership. So they can, right? Partners can request, you know, to split their partnership, right? And to each, you know, take half the assets or whatever. And that works, right? Why? You can't go to someone randomly and say, oh, I want to split your house with you. Right? The answer is because if you both are part of a, you know, part of, you know, some sort of, let's say, I guess we'll say, you know, partnership or any sort of already pre-existing relationship. So then it's not totally surprising to say that one party right, might be able to force the other party to do certain things or to create certain results or just dissolve that relationship, right? But Yibum, actually, I think that the answer is partially that. Partially, by Yibum, they're not really, Yibum, what happens in Yibum? Sort of as a mashal, you have a series, you have like a show, and one of the actors dies. All right, so either you could just in the next episode just have everyone, just like cry and be like, wow, it's so sad that Bob died, right? It was so sudden. And then, rewrite the show. Or you could bring in a new actor, right? And what does the new actor do? All right, how do we know that he's the new Bob? He just wears the clothes, he wears Bob's clothes and he sits in Bob's chair and he just says all of Bob's lines. And then we as the audience know that he's Bob, right? And if Yibum is that the brother just is filling in the dead brother's shoes, right? He's, filling his place. Then it's not really that you're creating a new relationship, right? You're simply acknowledging that he is Memale Makom. In which case, it's not that they're creating a new relationship, right? We're simply acknowledging that in reality, he's filling in the brother's shoes. So it's not really Tikshur Das. We actually don't care if he has Das or she has Das. We care if they, right, if they continue living together, if they live together, right? And they continue the dead brother's relationship, okay? So then, at the end of the day, what we're really just doing is saying, it's not that, we're creating something new, Bal Korcha. You can't create something new, Bal Korcha, or Bal Korcha. That's what it seems in general, right? What you can do is take something either that already exists or something that's not dependent on creating, but just simply, right, acknowledging a certain reality. Those things might be able to be done by Karach, right? What's a potential nafkamina of this? Nisuin, right? Because you already have Kiddushin and you already have marriage and you already have, right? They already agreed to, to get married. And maybe Nisuin is just the fact that they are in a relationship. Right? Do you need them to decide that they're now like, moving in together? Or is it good enough if they just move in together in reality? Right? How much is Nisuin a formal process that you decide to do and it's like, contractual, whatever? Or it's simply an acknowledgement of the reality that they are now functioning as husband and wife? Okay? So the nafkamina here is the Gemara in the Mishnah in the beginning of Ksuvah says, Rabbi Sula Nesis Liyom Revi, Amana Liyom Chamishi. So Tosas says, wait a second, Basula Nises, Hadaloktani no sin as a basula, kimoha ish mikadesh, the fisha at the mikatsa yoter v'od the tanahachi havamina feel about karcha. I would have had a havamina that you could do nisuin about karcha. So the Gemara Mishnah says Basula Nises instead of no sin as a basula, right? Literally parallel to the beginning of our Gemara. Right? Why would we have such a havamina? So if you So my father pointed out, if you look at the Chachma Shlomo, Marshal, so he says, why? Hacha kvarnit kadsha havamina shapir nises af bal karcha. Right? They're already married. There's already kiddushin. So once you have kiddushin, right, there's a tziruf b'nehem. There already is an ongoing relationship. So once you have a tziruf, once you have an ongoing relationship already, some sort of partnership, some sort of relationship between the two parties, maybe one can force, right, some sort of change in that relationship, even bal karcha. Or about Korcha, right? What? But that's very much like we were saying by Shutfin, right? Once there's already a relationship, so then, right, changes in the relationship might be possible about Korcha. You can create a relationship that way because you could just say, who are you? I have nothing to do with you. Leave me alone, right? Once it's not possible, so then, right, then you could potentially, right, effect changes, right, without necessarily the consent of the second partner. The Shidim Gubat says, has a slightly different formulation. Hachi kamar havamina im nitkadsha birtzona itina se bal karcha kivan de kvar nitkadsha birtzona. And what he's saying there is it's not that you can do it bal karcha. He's saying that you can do it bal karcha because she already was nitkadsha birtzona, right? Like you already have the consent. Okay, the Kvar Niskadsha sounds like, where's the tziruf? Here it's saying, oh, you can't do kiddushin bal karcha, right? Ratzon is a necessary part of ishas, but once you're already niskad shebir tzona, right? Maybe the nesuin, even if it was bal karcha, would piggyback on the fact that it's niskad shebir tzona. The creation of ishas needs to be bir tzona, right? But nesuin, right? Once that's true, once you have that, right? Nesuin doesn't necessarily need to have that same problem. Now the maskana Tosfos thinks that nesuin can't be bal karcha, right? The Rabbeinu Tam, right, doesn't sound like that necessarily. This is an interesting case, right? You have a Ketana who's married. She's about to, you know, she inherits a lot of money. Now she's sick. The husband who did Kedushin but not Nisuin, who's not going to inherit her until after Nisuin, right, wants to do Chuppah so that he would inherit her, right, if she dies. And the relatives don't want her to do Chuppah because they want to, right, inherit her if, you know, if slash when she dies. Okay? So they're all fighting about whether or not they can do Chuppah. So Chuppah makam kinyan omedah. So the Rabbeinu Ephraim says, no, yeah, you can't do Chuppah without, you know, a real proper das. And the father is dead. And since it's Kiddushin d'oraisa, so you have to wait till she's a gedola, till she can provide the das. And Rabbeinu Tam says, no. Lo nechle kuparakish mekadesh, el mishum deshem yavo avia v'yimche. Aval kachacha lo yimche lolam, because he's dead. A ketana can't get married by herself. But if she's already married, she could do nisuin by herself as long as the father doesn't object. So why? The Sefer says Rabbeinu Tam basically that in order to create ishas, you need das. In order to change from an erisin to nisuin, you don't need das, right? You might be able to object. The father can't object, let's say. You don't actually need him to provide das because it's not something about das, right? It's about facts on the ground, essentially. Okay. The Rambam also has a similar formulation. The Rambam, if you look at nisuin in general, and the Rambam, so by erisin, the Rambam says b'fnei edim, like every single time he talks about it, you know, kiddushin, he says, oh, you got to do it b'fnei edim, got to do it b'fnei edim, got to do it b'fnei edim, got to do it b'fnei edim. Right? When he talks about nisuin, right, he just says, oh, sheyavi ota b'toch beisav, siyachidima, v'yafrishen alo, v'hu anikra nisuin b'chol makom. Right? U'mishinich nesu chupa, anikra is nisua. What's missing from both of these? My father points out, the Rambam never mentions edim. So Reb Chaim says, oh, he must need edim. How could he have nisuin without edim? And my father points out, the Rambam said, like, you know, many times in Hilchos Ishos when talking about erisin, if ne'edim, right? But when it comes to nisuin, he just drops it. He ignores it. Right? So the chat seems to be for the Rambam that that nisuin is only, it doesn't need edim. And it doesn't necessarily need das. Why? Because it's about reality. It's not about creating, you know, a formal legal reality, or creating, you know, a new contract or consent or a new relationship between them. It's about, are they just, you know, erisined, or are they actually now functioning as a house, as a home, as a, you know, as a married couple? Have they moved in together? And if they have, then it's the reality that changes them into the status of nisuin, not that they've done any legal process. Okay? So obviously by kiddushin, you couldn't have a havamina that you could do a bal karcha, right? You could by nisuin. Now, the big monkey wrench, though, is what about shaka marriages, right? Shaka marriages are usually not where you force her to get married, but shaka marriage is where you force him to get married, right? So what would he assume about shaka marriages? What do you guys think?
Well, according to a lot of the Shitot, even if she doesn't need, you know, full dot, he does, because he's performing more of the actions.
At the other point, now, wait a second. If he's the one who's being the active party, right, then of course he should need, you know, he should need more das. So if it doesn't work to do it bal korcho, then of course it shouldn't work bal korcho, right? Or at the very least, we should assume that it's the same, right? Yeah, so that's also what I would have assumed, right? I'd say, oh, we should... presumably they should be equal, right? Shouldn't work for either of them, right? But, and that's, right, so that's, you know, when it comes to the Gemara, though, just an interesting idea, Be'isha vadai kiddushin lo havu, hu asa shlokogan, lefika chasu imao kshalokahogan. Right, so the Marbar Rashi emphasizes that vadai, even if you think that taluhu v'kaddish works, you know, he says, even if a Maimar thinks that taluhu v'kani works, sorry, that by mamon it works, it's not going to work by kiddusha isha. Does he mean be'isha as by the woman or by kiddusha isha? Okay, important diak, because, so the Rajba says, you know, the Miri says, let's just go skip ahead to the Miri. Miri said, where's the Miri here? Right, iman suesa ishviki deshi rali gamkin shafel pisha amar rotsani ho mitocha ones amarkin in kiddusha kiddushin. Consent is an inherent part of ishus. You cannot have ishus without consent, and it doesn't matter whose consent you're lacking, right? And I think that's sort of the obvious position. What's the problem, right? Problem is, we go back. So the Rajba says, oh, you know, the Itur, who, you know, says that in Kiddush of Kiddushin, Taluhu Vizavin Amru, Taluhu Vikani Lo Amru. He says, I think, right, the Rajba thinks that really Taluhu Vikadish should work, right? And Afkin Rabban on Kiddushin Mine. Says the Itur, yeah, but obviously it's not going to work if you're Taluhu, right, as Tehila said, because he's the one who's being Kone. You can't have someone create a new kinyan, Bal Korcho, right? In order to create an acquisition, you need to have more das. You're more active. You're doing more, right? It's one thing to leverage or pressure or force someone into accepting, you know, a new reality. It's a totally different one into forcing them into doing something brand new, right? And to creating something brand new, right? So he says, when it comes to, so the Itzer says, right, if you're passive, you know, it might work to relinquish his opposition, but it's not going to create an active kinyan. Now, the Rajba says, no, actually, Niran Devei Rambam, afilu agav unse gamar v'zavin, koshi into gamar v'kani. He says, actually, right, the Rajba is very into the parallel to Dini Mamanes. He says, if someone's willing to give up their money, bal korcho, right, because they'll cut their losses. So if someone says, I'm giving you $100, and you say, no, I don't want it. And he says, I'm giving you $100, and you're going to take it, whether you like it or not. And you're like, I don't want it. Soni matanos yichye. And the guy says, I'm giving you $100 or else. And you say, soni matanos yichye, and I'm soni matanos because I want to, you know, live a long, happy life. And that's what it says, so I don't want your $100. And the guy says, you're going to take the $100 or else. And you're like, I'm going to take the $100. Thank you so much. I actually really just wanted to get something and I'm $100 short. That's amazing. Thank you so much. Right? So he says, look, Kol Shekein, right? I got once a gummer of a zoven. If you're going to give stuff up, of course you're going to take stuff. Right? Now, what's fascinating is they're working on totally different levels, right? The Rajba is much more of a psychological argument. If you're willing to lose, right, then of course you're willing to gain. Right? The Itter says, legally, giving up ownership is a lot easier than creating it, right? Which of these, when we're talking about Taluhu V'Gzavin, which of these is more important, right? Is what's more important the psychological question? Or is Taluhu V'Gzavin really all about, oh, psychologically, is he going to cut his losses? Or are we saying, oh, the pressure can get leverage someone into giving up their resistance, but it can't make positive das, right? Which is much more legally, is saying, oh, well, you know, it's not that psychologically he suddenly decided that he really, really wants to accept this proposition, right? It's just that the levels of das that you need for different things are different. And so it is much more about the legality of what we're trying to accomplish, while the Rajba is much more about the psychology of the person involved, okay? Now, the Rambam, and this is just really just like a tough for me, the Rambam says, "Ha'isha ansuhu atche kiddush bal korcho harezu mekudeshas." The ish lekadosh nashim rabos kachas. The Rambam says that if you shotgun marriage a guy, right? You know, you're in Iowa, and you know, guy, you know, says like, "Buddy, you're marrying my daughter, or else," right? So you know, and he pulls out a shotgun and he says, like, you know, we're going to the church and we're going right now. Real proper shotgun wedding. Rambam says it works. even though he said axiomatically, in Isha Mitkadesh, El Lertzona, and Mekadesh Bal Karcha, in Mekadesh, because the Ratzon is axiomatically necessary. What's Pshat? So, like a, you know, psychological answer, the Magmisha says, oh, Isharehu Yachol Legarsha Bal Karcha. He says, look, for the man doesn't have so much at stake, right? Because at the end of the day, he could always just turn around 5 minutes later and divorce her, right? So he could say, okay, fine, I'll marry her. And then, like, you know, the minute the guy puts away the shotgun, we'll get divorced, right? He'll retain his family honor, and I'll retain my head, and we're all good, right? I don't think that's very compelling, because the Rambam didn't say, oh, psychologically, she's not going to accept it, right? Or psychologically, he's more willing to accept it. Right, he said that ratzon is axiomatic by the isha, but not by the ish. Right? How can we explain that? Right, it's tough. It's very tough. Yeah, Avia.
Well, I mean, you could see it also as saying that since he always has the option of divorcing her, if he's asking us to cancel the kiddush, maybe he doesn't really want to divorce her and he wants the marriage. Like, that's how I saw the Magid Mishnah saying that. Well, if you really want, it's like, why does this question matter so much? And we're going to say, look, you're married, just divorce her. And if you're not going to divorce her, then maybe you want to marry her or you want to stay married. So just do that instead.
Okay, interesting. But let's say you divorce her right away. Right? They walk back from the church. Father puts away the shotgun. Right? Man, you know, and the man pulls out, he says, well, you know, I went to the notary and, like, you know, here's your get, Missy. You know? Do we say that they were never married, Lamafreya? I don't think so. No one says that. So it's a good argument. I think you're right. I mean, that's a very, it makes sense. Problem is that, you know, the nafkamina should be that if he did divorce her right away, then she would actually, Lamafreya, have never been married. The Rambam doesn't present it that way. The Rambam just presents it like, oh, you know, for him, like, it just, Bal Karcha works. Right? So I was thinking, actually, that, right, the fact that he could divorce her, I think, A, the fact that he could divorce her. B, the next line in the Rambam, right, was, right, v'yish, as a totally random, like, different halacha, yish l'ish l'kadesh nashim rabos. Right, why can a man marry a multiple woman? So I think we go back to that avni miluim, even though the Rambam, in general, like, you know, his take on the das question is the opposite of the avni miluim. Right, the avni miluim is pointing out that what? That when, in ishus, we see it as, right, his bias, and she's nichnas into his bias. Right? So probably the reason why he can have multiple wives is because, right, multiple wife can't be multiple batim at the same time, but he can have multiple women in his bias. Right? It's more of a legal explanation than, you know, moral explanation. But if legally that's true, right, she's nechnas l'toch baiso, so it's the same as avli minuim, just with the roles reversed. The Avni Miluim said, oh, just to get her to allow him to be machas her toch beso, you know, that, like, doesn't take a lot of das, right? The Rambam says, no, the opposite, right? In order to get her to be nichnas to toch beso, needs not just das, but ratzon. She needs to want to join his household, right? She has to be nichnas to toch beso. That's something she needs to decide to do, right? He can, like, you know, reach out his hands, but she needs to do it. So you need not just das, but ratzon. But, says, let's say, the Rambam, you know, the opposite is, you know, is true also. To get him to allow her to be nechnas l'toch beso, right, requires much less das. Right, we're sort of crisscrossing the Avni Miluim. The level of his das, actually, is much less. If he's really the Baal HaBayis, right, so all he's doing, right, is inviting her to join Beso. He's not undergoing necessarily, right, a radical transformation. He's being machnas her l'toch Beso, but that's it. In which case, while for her it's axiomatic that she needs to be in l'rtzona, for him, maybe, right, we have a much lower level of demands. Maybe kofenos achi yom arotzani is good enough. Right? Or taluhu v'kadesh works. Because A, right, why can he be? Why is he the Megarish and not her? Right, because she's in his bias, and right, he can therefore, right, Vishil Chami Beito. Right, why can he marry multiple women? You think the same reason, if that's true, if it's v'shilcha mibeito, right, or k'yikach ish isha, right, libeito, so then her joining his house is lirtzona. But for him, actually, right, the Avni Milum's argument that he was trying to say dafka for her, right, we don't agree with, but we think that the opposite is true. Now, for him, the Rambam thinks that you actually have a much lesser level. And what really this does to us is it forces us to think that maybe, right, then when we talk about Kiddushin, the Ramban was saying that they're equal, right? You have two equal parties basically undergoing the same process, right? The Isha is the Mitkadeshet, because she's an equal party to the Ish, right? He's more active, but essentially they're both equal parties. For the Rambam, right, I don't think that's true. Right? Even though he thinks, of course, the Ratzon is axiomatic, but it's actually even more axiomatic than the Ramban, because they're not equal parties, right? We need a lot more of her das. But it's because the process of Kiddushin is different for the Ish and the Isha, according to what seems to be happening in the Rambam. Okay, did everyone get that? A little bit? I gotta say it one more time. Right, the Rambam said, for the Isha, it's axiomatic that it's Lertzona. The essence of Kiddushin is that she wants to marry him, right? So you can't do it Bal Karcha, you can't even do it under pressure, because at the end of the day, if marriage is that she wants to marry him. But then for the Ish, the Rambam says, oh, Bal Karcha works, right? He's just happy to say that, the Rambam. He's like, oh yeah, and of course it works. Right? We wanted to speculate that perhaps what the Rambam's saying, but first of all, what's clear the Rambam's saying is that it's a different ballgame, right? For him and for her, it's a different ballgame between the two of them. But the other thing we're trying to say, and what's the different ballgame, is that if it's she's, right, nichnesa yikach lebeso, or v'shilcha mibeso by gerushin, if it's his bias, right, so he's always in his bias, right, conceptually speaking. Right, he is the bias. So he doesn't need das to be in the bias. He needs to allow her to join the bias. He needs to invite her in, right? But the kinesa of the bias is essentially being done by her, not him. Or the ratzon is being provided by her. Right? He needs to allow it, but it's exactly what the Avni Miluim was saying. But the Avni Miluim was saying that about her, and the Rama says that no, it's about him. She totally needs das, right? Because she's nichnas l'toch beso. Has to be l'ratzona. But for him, he just has to allow it to happen. Right? So it's literally the opposite of the Avni Miluim, right? Which means that the Isha's process is different, right, for men and women in terms of the Kiddushin, what's happening, what are you doing? Right, for the Avni Miluim is that he's being machnas l'toch beso and she's just letting it happen, right, based on the Ran. The Rambam is saying the opposite, right? She's nichnas l'toch beso, right, and he's inviting her to do it. And then the Avni Miluim says, oh, she doesn't really need das. And the Rambam says, oh, but he doesn't really need das so much, right? So even though the Avni Miluim, we weren't so convinced by the Avni Miluim in terms of, like, conceptually, that wasn't really how we were seeing the sugya. It's a legitimate, you know, shita, but it wasn't like what was really moshech. But it opens the door to see, oh, well, wait a second, right? What is he doing? What is she doing? We're saying here is the opposite for the Rambam. Right? Now, and I think, like, the little bit of the raya is that the Rambam just, like, goes directly from that, from, oh, ansua chikidish bakocha rezim kudeshas v'yesh lesh lakadish nashim rabos. Because at the end of the day, she's nichnas l'toch beisa. Okay, so the Rambam, can you be machalik between talu ha and talu hu, right? So the Meiri says you can't be machalik, right? Ishus needs to be consensual across the board, right? The Rambam and the Itter and the Rajba, you know, are all open to the idea that you could machalik between the Ish and the Isha. Right, the Itter says, oh well, if he could, you know, of course, you can't create a kinyan bal karcho, right? But the Rambam says no, right? Of course, she could be nichnasa lebeso bal karcho, because you know all he has to do is basically let her in, so you could force him to let her in. That's the way I think to explain the Rambam.